Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, the Reds, this is an Anfield Wrap special with me, Gareth Roberts. I've got Joe Blott, the chairman of Spirit of Shankly, and I've got Geordie Holden, who was part of the Spying Cop 1906 group. We thought, given everything that's gone on this week, it would be good to get some of the fan groups in, have a chat, talk about what's gone on, what happens next, and all that kind of thing, because we all want to know where we're at, really, don't we, after that mad week. I thought I'd start, fellas, by reading out statements from your respective groups, just so, because I mean, I think a lot of people will have seen these, but equally, as I was reminded the other day, a lot of people don't see everything that we see, because it's our jobs to do all this, and other people have got other jobs, and so on and so forth. So I'll do the statements first of all, and then we'll have a bit of a chat after that. So Spirit of Shankly tweeted this one out. It says, oh, I've immediately lost it. Good work, Gareth. Here we go. It's been a tumultuous, sickening few days for us all. Spirit of Shankly have always asked for honesty, integrity and transparency from club owners, FSG. But the arrogance and deception they have shown behind this money grab is frightening, but not surprising. We have noted John Henry's apology, but this PR exercise is too little too late. These crocodile tears will not wash. Actions speak louder than hollow words. Liverpool Football Club is not an American franchise. It is a community steeped in history and tradition. The future of football came crashing down in 48 hours because of the solidarity and outcry of legacy fans across the country. This debacle must be a catalyst for real change and not an exercise in damage limitation. Our owners have thrown everyone under the bus, supporters, manager, players and staff, humiliated themselves through sheer greed and arrogance, and the hypocrisy of the Premier League and broadcasters has also been noted. They have never considered the fans in their own gold rush and have treated us with thinly disguised contempt over the years. We need a fundamental change in football governance, one that is fair for the whole football pyramid, not just the rapacious. I don't even know how you say that word. You've gone big words on me here, Joe, in your statements. Elite. We need a model that promises equitable distribution of the vast amounts of money involved in the beautiful game, our game. During this confusion, UEFA have gladly portrayed themselves as the progressive force. Nothing could be further from the truth, and their new Champions League format is a disgrace, one that must be resisted immediately. We will be consulting with our members to gauge their opinion on our next steps. Okay, just going to follow that with the Spying Cops statements as well, following last night's announcement that Liverpool FC will no longer be taking part in a European Super League. Our flags will be on the cop for Saturday's home game. As always, we are committed to supporting the team. We thank the players and especially Jordan Henderson for their support of the fans. It's been great to see the solidarity among Liverpool fans and also from fan bases across all clubs over the last couple of days. And we should use this opportunity to effect genuine change. Whilst we were all fighting against the new competition, UEFA passed through reforms which make the European Cup more elitist with additional games and therefore expense for fans. It's important we all stand together to oppose this too. We've welcomed the support that Sky and the others in the media have shown for fans over the past few days and hope that this leads to them to look at the treatment of fans and things that they can do around kickoff times, match ticket prices and how all football fans are treated. This is just the start. To FSG, your continued wrong decisions and lack of consultation with the fans in these big decisions has been your ultimate downfall. Once again, you have gone toe-to-toe with the wrong people and your delay in making a statement is cowardly. This is our club, not yours. Never take us for granted because once again, you've seen that it's the fans who have the power, not the men with the briefcase. The fans are the true owners of the football club and our support will always be with the staff, manager and players. Football without fans is nothing. Spying Cop 1906. Two good statements there. I thought it was worth reading them out just before we start the chat. So, Joe, I'll start with you, mate. I think what a lot of people are now wondering about, when I was saying before, what happens next. obviously you've hinted there about, you know, challenging other organisations. Now, this isn't just about our owners. This is about UEFA, FIFA, structure of football, all the problems we've all talked about for a long time. But in the immediacy as well, there's a football match at Anfield on Saturday. All of a sudden, it kind of matters again, because it didn't for 48 hours, and that Leeds game was so strange. We sort of return to a place now where the football does matter. We want Liverpool to win, score goals, qualify for the Champions League, because it still will be that for now. Obviously, people, and you will know better than me, people were planning things for Saturday. People were going to do things on Saturday, from mad things to normal things, from banners and flags to more extreme things. I heard the lot over those few days. What do you think the mood's going to be now? Because I think people, there's still anger out there, understandably. But as the sort of spying cop statement reflected there as well, we do need to get behind the team, don't we? Because it very much wasn't them, all of this.
Yeah, 100% on that. You're right. I mean, the anger out there is real, isn't it? And it's organically grown over the last couple of days, and hasn't been quelled really by the statement by Henry. In fact, it's probably wound a few people up a bit more, because it seemed like empty and shallow and tokenist. So I think it's really important that we do focus on the team. I think absolutely spot on. It's great to see. It's great. The flags are going to be withdrawn, and it's great the flags are going to be made. I think that 1906 did fantastic on that. There's something on Tuesday night. I thought before the announcement was made, and before Henry came out on Wednesday, we got Shankly's Holy Trinity together here, because we'd had Klopp's view on the Monday. Clearly, the supporters were absolutely solid against it, whether you're a Liverpool fan or Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, or the City or United. You know, there was total opposition to it, so the fans were galvanised. And then we got Jordan leading the team on Tuesday, right behind us. So we got the trinity of the fans, the manager, and the supporters together, and the team together on that. That's the message we've got to give back now. That we asked for loyalty. I think in one of the early statements that 1906 put, he said something like, we put the flags on the cop because we wanted to show you our support. Now is your time to show us up, show your support for us. And they did that. And they listened to that call, and that's brilliant. In terms of any action on Saturday, you know, that'll be organically grown. And, you know, there isn't a kind of call to arms on this. Mm-hmm. I think there's something in me that says football fans have just become immensely relevant, not just locally, but nationally and European-wide as well. Mm. Let's capitalise on that. Let's make the most of that. These owners, whether it's ours or the others, are looking and going, wow, we've just been done over here by an absolute groundswell of opposition from everywhere, but mostly from supporters. Let's make the most of that now. Let's go for the stuff that we've been challenging for years. Let's go for the change, the fundamental changes in football. Let's stop the nonsense, you know, and George, you'll know this, you know, the kickoff time has moved at the last minute, so none of us can get the game, and you can't get your money back on your train tickets and everything else. You know, let's go for everything as basic as that, right the way up to the board level, fan with a golden vote. You know, let's push for everything now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll come back to that, because I think that's an important point. But Geordie wanted to talk about the flags. It was interesting how much that seemed to hurt Jurgen Klopp, I thought, in that, you know, you saw in that interview before the Leeds United game that he was kind of saying straight away there, really, look, this isn't us. This isn't me. This isn't the team. And we want your support. And you know, And he specifically referenced, didn't he, the idea of the flags being taken away. I mean, it's nice to see that, isn't it? And the manager has very much got Liverpool and its culture all the way through. It's the owners where everyone's baffled this week after nearly 11 years. How can you misunderstand the culture so much? So that's a little boost for you lads, isn't it, who take the time, the effort to make those flags and banners, to get down at Anfield, to show your protest this week and to show your support every week?
Yeah, it was really powerful from Klopp. the flags constitute and resemble what Liverpool's all about. And the last thing anyone wants to do is have a go at Klopp or send the wrong message across to him, because that's not what it's about. It's towards the owners. But I think he took it a bit to heart, and I think it must have got lost in translation a bit. And he said it in the heat of the moment, because he's been pushed under the bus by the owners, yeah. and pushed under the bus by Sky, just asking them the question before the match. So, yeah, as Joe said, that was the message, that we've always been there for them, and they have to be there for us. But and you couldn't have asked for a better reaction from them, really.
And it would have been such a powerful message, wouldn't it? I mean, obviously, it's now not going to happen, but even the thought of it, when you think it's weird enough. Look, it's weird enough them playing football in front of an empty stadium anyway. But, you know, the flags did add something. It was that constant reminder of, well, we are here, and we have been allowed to do this small thing to show you a bit of support. If suddenly that had gone, and it was not only an empty stadium, but a blank cop where you just saw rows and rows of red seats, I think that would have been really, really powerful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's really hard at the moment as well, isn't it? Because the ground is empty, and there's only a number of things you can do to support, say, your message across to the people who you want to. So there's not 50,000 people in Anfield, is there? So there's limited things you can do, and taking the flags off the cop was one of them, which throughout the pandemic, the empty home games, that's one of the things that's made us a bit more authentic than other teams, which have just stuck with the same old quotes on the ground.
And also, Joe, on a similar point, really, you mentioned the Holy Trinity, you mentioned the players. In the past, and we don't have to sort of name names and sort of like and sort of things like that, but you know, the first, let's say when Spirit of Shankly was born, which was out of the Hicks and Gillette debacle, and it was born out of fighting them. And you know, we were all there sort of at the start doing our bit. But at those times, I remember there was frustration then that we didn't get that from the players, that, you know, some of them sort of turned a bit of a blind eye, didn't say anything. And I think a lot of us were disappointed at that time that didn't happen. So it was huge, wasn't it, for Jordan to round them up and them all to put that stuff on social media. I mean, some people sort of, you know, dismiss social media, but it is huge. Again, in a pandemic, even bigger, because it's a key way of communicating at this time. And I think that was such a powerful message that the old club together and went, right, almost as our own little players union here, we're going to show our opposition to this. That was massive, wasn't it?
Huge leadership from Jordan, wasn't it? You know, that's been sadly lacking from the owners. It showed them up for what they were. And listen, you know, I think you started off saying about having the owners got the culture, yes. But Jordan's been here less than them, and he's got the culture. Because he totally gets it, because he's from a working class background, and he knows that football actually is football. It's not a money ball run by venture capitalists, Russian oligarchs and oil billionaires. You know, he totally understands that. It kind of doesn't surprise me, but what does surprise me is that, you know, you've got all the team behind it, you know, saying what they did, which is absolutely phenomenal. You've got the players who are on loan trying to fight for the place to, you know, get a contract. And there they are saying to the contract holders, listen, you're doing this wrong. You know, if I was a temporary employee, I'd be thinking, oh, well, I'm sure I want to do that. But that shows the strength of leadership, but it shows the strength of nonsense that they've been doing as well. And just while it's on my mind, don't mind me saying, but Jordy made a great point there about, you know, the empty stadium. It's absolutely no coincidence, is it, that they announced it at a time when we can't get into the ground and we can't protest and there's COVID restrictions and everything else. It was a cynical move by all the clubs to do that, to remain silent, and then to also recognise that fans really didn't, or they thought fans couldn't get together, and they thought fans couldn't unite. And didn't you show them that we can unite? You don't need to be around the ground. That's a bonus sometimes. But what we got was actually a collective view around it to support it. But having the players on board, for me on the Tuesday night, I thought, this is where they're starting to kick over here. And also when we got that notification as well about the sponsor pulling out. You know, I thought that was a significant move as well. It doesn't matter the size of the sponsor. It's just that it hurt them. their reputation was starting to go down the pan, and they stole a march on. We've always said, haven't we? We've got the values of the club. We show that week in, week out. For a sponsor to say that we've got values as well, and no one must say that you haven't, was incredibly powerful. So, yeah, it's been, you know, from all facets, it's just been an amazing week.
And so to turn a negative into a positive now is the way forward, isn't it? I think in that I've seen already on Spirit of Shankly and other fan groups actually that, you know, this has led to an almost immediate upturn in interest in those types of groups. I think you're currently processing a lot of new members now as a consequence of this.
Yeah, I mean, both points. I mean, it's fantastic that all of that income is going to generate, you know, even more support for our community projects, which is fantastic. But yeah, you know, if you ever wanted to mount a campaign, just ask FSG to do it on your behalf. It's fantastic. You couldn't have asked for a greater response, really. And you know, you're just talking about then about going forward. I go back to the point before. Now's the time to renew and refresh. There might be some retribution that's needed, but let's make sure that we seize the moment. You know, who'd have believed that Johnson would have been the most left-wing champion on Monday at that meeting, saying that, you know, he wants to hold them all to account and really push on with the final review. Might be empty words, who knows, but it was out there. You wouldn't have got that a week and a half ago. So again, you know, in terms of that idea that we're actually going to take this forward, it's backfired with the fans, with the players, with the manager, and with the politicians, and with sponsors. How many own goals are they going to score?
Yeah, the reaction was huge, wasn't it? And there's obviously this idea now of a fan-led review of football, and there's people talking about 50+1 models, and as you mentioned before, almost having like a golden ticket onto the board, which would be a brilliant thing. If FSG want a way back, I would say one way back is to show that they really care would be to engage properly with supporters. Look, they have made some efforts, haven't they, Joe? And, you know, the likes of employing Tony Barrett, they did set up some fan forums at various times. I've seen you doing an interview saying, you know, you'd talk to the club over various things in recent days, but not this. But that's the disappointment. That's another disappointment, isn't it? There was a lot of progress up to this point, wasn't there? From where we were in the Hicks and Gillette days, you know, the engagement with fans had improved. The engagement with the community had improved. And setting fire to all of that by signing up for something with the Glazers, you know, it's hard to row back from that, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, look, they had made progress and they made some incredibly huge gaps along the way. And, you know, in his letterhead, he said, we've learned lessons, but they haven't, because he just carry on doing the same old nonsense. But the engagement with the club has improved immensely. And any anger that we put forward over the last, you know, 72, 90-odd hours has not been against any employee of the club. Because I think David is in the dark as we
absolutely
were. So this, you know, for footballers, from manager, right the way through to all the staff who are employed, this is just on the owner's toes, this. But I think we have made a lot of progress on it. I think you mentioned earlier that in our statements that we're going to be canvassing the views of all our members, and we're doing that with constructing all of that stuff as we speak. Just want to make sure that we don't throw away the opportunity as well, that in amongst our anger, let's not just think about now. Let's think about next week and beyond. Because whether they come or go, whether they stay or leave, we've still got a lot of things to improve for the fan. And now's our opportunity to do that. And you know what? My advice to Liverpool would be, we've made a mess of this, but you know what? We can take some leadership back for the rest of football. Volunteer themselves to be part of that, you know, national campaign about how you can do things better and differently. Let the club be the leading light, and let the club live the values it puts on its banners and its boards. let them be the ones who can be revolutionary, but revolutionary to import proper change, not financial change.
Absolutely. Josie, the supporters in general, as I said before, are in the spotlight now, and more than ever, you know, people are talking about football fans, because sometimes it does feel like, certainly all the time I've been doing this and doing a fanzine before that, it does feel sometimes that no one's bothered, that, you know, football operates in a bit of a bubble, and then the rest of society looks in every now and again and goes, oh, they're all a bit weird, leave them to it. But currently, you know, it is top of the news agenda. You know, everywhere you've turned this week, the talk has been about this. It's been front pages of national newspapers. It's been the first thing they talk about on the radio and on the TV and everything else. Joe's right in that, you know, we've got to sort of seize this opportunity. But from Spying Cop's perspective, I think it also shines a light on the people that make an effort to provide us with our culture, if you like. So, you know, the likes of yourself, you know, and there's various people within your group who we know do brilliant work making the banners, you know, getting the materials to do that, taking the time to make them. You know, Peter Carney's made an art form out of the whole thing. You know, people don't talk about that enough. That gets taken for granted, doesn't it? I think in that, you know, we all, in normal times, we all turn up, we go to Anfield, we love the flags, we love the banners, we're proud of it, and we're proud of that tradition. But sometimes we don't think, I wonder how hard that is. And it is quite hard, isn't it? It takes time and effort to do all of that.
Yeah, definitely. As Joe said, they done it in a sneaky way, didn't they? But they also announced it on Sunday night about 11 o'clock when we were all going to bed, and by 12 o'clock the next day there was flags on the Paisley Gates outside with Sky Sports taking pictures of it. So it was encouraged to leave banners up and show this, but they're still up now. We put them up and you thought they'll be taken down in an hour, but as long as it sends a message across, then they're still up now. So it shows you everything you need to know about what the staff think at Liverpool.
Yeah,
that they haven't went outside and took them down. So yeah, fan representation is needed, but the 50 plus one, you know, that's the dream, isn't it? But it's very hard to get the message across, because again, with COVID and that, you can't be seen to be organising something, can you? So, like the Chelsea fans who they agree, weren't they? That's how bad it is that you've got Chelsea fans protesting, so it must be bad, because I was worried about them at Arsenal and Tottenham. I thought they'll just be happy to sit down and just take it. But fair play to them, and you know, Czech come out to them. Czech probably knew that they were going to withdraw, because he come out about half an hour earlier. Before it came out, and he told them to go on, but they still didn't. So that was great to see.
It was great to see. I was the same in that. I did not expect that from Chelsea fans, and it was very, very welcome. In terms of the flags and the banners, then, Jordy, I mean, it was. We know it's not a case of, you know, you're all marching in and out of Anfield en masse and taking them down and putting them back up and all that. It's left to sort of Anfield staff, and I know Peter does a lot of liaison with them to make it all happen. Is there something different going to be on the cop that this weekend that we know of? Is there going to be like a banner that reflects all what's gone on, maybe?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a few more put on. A Henderson one. That's going to be going back on. I think one's being talked about, as Joe said before, the Holy Trinity Shankly quote, which was the players, the managers, and the player, and the players, and the owners are just there to cash the cheques, aren't they? So, there's new ones going on, but as you said, we've got the momentum now to go and take things in our direction and strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah. On that, Joe, that's what I wanted to wrap up on, really. I mean, a lot of people will be listening, and as we said at the start, you know, no doubt angered by what's going on. Some of the conversation is already moving, and you know, I've certainly got people messaging me saying, yeah, well, I can see you're angry about the owners, but, you know, what about UEFA? What about FIFA? What about the FA? You know, and at no point have I said they're the good guys, by the way, but Yeah. I think you know, you said before, Jordy said it, there's a feeling now of, okay, well, what can we do? And I know you've said in the statement there that you canvass some members, but is there anything that you would, if there are fans out there who maybe have been quite passive up to this point but want to do something more active, is there anything you would encourage them to do at this stage of proceedings?
I think it's keep your voice loud and heard, really. You know, use your social media channels to have a go at those institutions and say, you know, we haven't taken our eyes off you. You're right, you know, that, you know, that the Premier League aren't as clean in this as you'd expect. Certainly UEFA happens in terms of what they've done. FIFA, we know the way they operate. So this is football about this. This is what it's about. And we need to channel our anger towards our own owners into a force for good for the whole of football. So get involved on online. It's dead hard at the moment in COVID, because you can't have like a mass meeting to galvanise that and stuff like that. So it's really difficult to pull people together. But, you know, as I said earlier, if ever we wanted a membership campaign, I'll be speaking to John Henry to pick it up for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you do want to sign up to Spirit of Shankly, check that out, become a member. As Joe referenced there as well, it's not just about supporting Spirit of Shankly. They do some great work in the community, and your membership fee will go towards that as well. Thanks a lot to the pair of you then. Thanks to Joe Blott there from Spirit of Shankly, Jordy Holden from the Spying Cop 1906 group. It will be good on Saturday to have some football minus all this, but it is also a time when we can look towards what we can do to influence change in football too. Thanks a lot to the boys. That has been an Anfield Rap special. Sports Social Podcast Network.